in a loan with First National Bank. We would be purchasing $2,025,000 out of a $2,250,000 loan. And if it is with the board chair's permission, I'd like to bring up Krista Anderson to speak to the loan and present it to the board.
Please.
Thank you. Good morning. Yes, ma'am. Good morning. Thank you. As indicated, the borrower's entity is Orcas Capital Group, LLC. The guarantors in this particular credit are John McGrew, Amelia Russo McGrew, Glenn Gellert, Hugh Gellert, Redstone LLC, and Intrepid LLC. It is for term financing to pay off a bridge loan that was used to fund the purchase of collateral of a building from ACS, Alaska Communication System, which will then be leased back. And it's under a bridge loan because of timing considerations. So they're going to purchase and lease back an office warehouse building, 8717 Diamond D Circle, which is south of town, if you're familiar with Anchorage. This acquisition will provide liquidity both to the commercial real estate market, but also the sale of the property will help recapitalize ACS. And they do have several employees throughout the state. The figures that we had as of the end of June was just under 800 employees. And the borrowing entity is managed by John McGrew and Glenn Gellert. They're very experienced in real estate investments in this state. We'd be taking a first lien position on the collateral. It is a building that was built in 1998, and it will be, as I've indicated, leased back on a net basis. The property was appraised by Rick Richter, at Richter and Stone. He has been in the appraisal business here in Alaska for many years, in the amount of $3,200,000. That provides a 70% loan-to-value for us, and our maximum being 75% loan-to-value, so we're under that threshold. And the remaining economic life of the property is 40 years. We do have related debt on this credit. Five of the six guarantors are guarantors on two other loans that were recently approved by ADA. They are too new to have actual performance history at this time, but they will be over time. The strengths that we saw in this credit were the facts that the loan-to-value is 70%. It's well secured. Your debt service coverage is 1.46, and we like to see a minimum of 1.25 to 1. The guarantors do have financial capacity outside of this project, and the fact that the lease back of the property to ACS is on a net basis is a positive attribute as well. The perceived weakness may be that the current financial condition of ACS does raise some question on the long-term ability to perform under the lease. But we feel that this is mitigated by the sale of the wireless assets. It does recapitalize the company. I guess you could say as a plan B, this property can attract other tenants, as evidenced by the new sublease in the office space. In regards to portfolio diversification, how this fits into our portfolio, we used June 30th numbers, and statewide, we had exposure in this area of 7.5%. That would increase to 8%. And then in regards to the Anchorage region, we were at 11%. And with the addition of this credit, it would increase to 11.8%. We would have loan covenants, which are fairly standard to require financial information every year on an annual basis. And then we also put in a chart on ADA's capacity. We looked at capacity for FY14 of $57.5 million. And as you can see by these numbers, we have sufficient allocation unencumbered under the loan participation program to accommodate this credit. Staff does recommend the approval of this loan, of this loan participation. We do recommend maximum loan amount to be limited to the bridge loan payoff with up to 30 days of interest plus refinancing costs, and also the execution of what we call an SNDA, which is a subordination non-disturbance and atonement agreement for ACS, for the ACS lease, in a form and substance that's acceptable to NATO. And with that, that is an overview, so with that I would open it up for any questions that we have.
Commissioner Bell?
Please proceed, Acting Commissioner Rodell.
I didn't notice in here, Chris, the term of the lease. Is it simultaneous with the term of the loan, or is it of a different length?
The lease...
And it could be, I just didn't... It was in here, and I just didn't
miss
it.
Yeah, 20 years. 20 years, and we've got two 10-year options past the 20 years.
Okay, and it's a 25-year loan.
Yeah.
Okay.
So with options, we should be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's the only question I had, Commissioner.
Thank you. Any other questions from board members?
Commissioner Dana Prude?
Please. Go ahead.
Is this the original NOC Network Operations Center for... That was for Alaska Fiberstar. Is that what this building was?
Are you aware of this?
I believe it is. The two cables come in.
Right. And is that the use for ACS?
Continues to use it, yes.
Okay. And so when you talk about availability for other markets to lease it, does that have any bearing on the value of the building? Did the appraiser use that as part of the, or just as just a standalone building without the NOC capabilities?
Yeah, I don't believe that added to the actual valuation.
Correct. The NOC capabilities is not incorporated into the value.
Okay.
And the footprint of the NOC is relatively small to the property.
And then on the term lease, is there any escalators in it?
Yes.
With ACS?
2.75% each year, beginning in year two.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from board members for staff?
No. This is Gary. I have none. Thank you.
Thank you. May we have a motion for loan resolution L1303?
I'll move to approve loan resolution number L13-03. To Orcus Capital Group, LLC.
I'll second.
Thank you. We have a motion. And I think I might have heard Crystal. Was that? Did you get a second there as well?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you both. So we have a motion. We have a second. May we have a roll call vote, please?
Mr. Wilkin.
Aye.
Commissioner Rodell.
Yes.
Mr. Pruse?
Yes.
Ms. Nygaard?
Yes.
Mr. Hughes? Mr. Russell? Mr. Dick?
Yes.
Commissioner Bell?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. That brings us to item 6B, which is a resolution G13-14, authorized continued funding of Interior Energy Project, and I'll ask Ted to begin this discussion to describe the background information we're provided in the resolution.
Thank you, Chair. Again, this is resolution G1314, and if the Chair so desires, I'd like to bring up Mark Davis. And Mark, do you want someone else with you? And Jim Hemsen. Very quickly, Board, what this resolution does is twofold. It gives us permission to start spending the capital appropriation monies for the project to keep it moving forward. As was said in the memo, ADA has utilized its own funds to bring this project forward so far, and now that we've received the appropriation of $57.5 million in the capital appropriation and the authorization to use the SEPS funds, this resolution is requesting that ADA has the ability to start utilizing the capital appropriation to continue to move forward with the project, with the pre-engineering, the analysis of the project, and just move the permitting forward also. What we told the legislators and the governor as we went through this process and discussing this, that we would have to move forward on several paths at the same time, and even before the board has made the final decision. So again, this would allow us to start utilizing the funds to continue to move forward with the project until we have, I believe, where our goal is at the end of October to bring this to the board for a declaration of a project during that period of time, or the board meeting in that area of time. The second portion of this resolution is that, again, as we've discussed, having to move forward with the project and keep it on track to make that goal of by the end of 2015, if we go forward with a path where ADA would be partnering in building the plant or providing financing for the plant, there are several long lead items that may be needed to be ordered during a period of time that the board will not be in session. So what we're asking is for the board to delegate that authority to the subcommittee. In late 2014, Sher Chort elected two members to, and himself to be the subcommittee for this project, and that was Commissioner Bell and Gary Wilkins. And in actuality, we could have one more board member on the subcommittee, because you can have three without it becoming a quorum. So in essence, we estimate that this could be up to $7 million. And I'll let Jim and Mark speak to this, but some of these long lead items could take up to 14 months. So we're requesting to have the board or the subcommittee have the authority, if it's believed, to continue to make this project stay on track to meet that end of 2015, the authority to order the projects, and when you order those, not projects, excuse me, order those long lead items, there can be a deposit that goes with it. And again, as we said in the memo, there are risks with that, and that's why we believe that the authority should be with the subcommittee to make that decision. So if the board's okay, I'd pass it on to Mark and Jim to get more detail on this.
Please.
This, for the record, this is Mark Davis. I'm Deputy Director of Infrastructure. Essentially, there's three requests here. One is to create the subcommittee and let it have authority.
But the subcommittee is already...
Yeah, but I mean, so that you'll know what it's doing on your behalf, which is the typical corporate governance mechanism. And when the board was expanded to seven, that was done in part, so that the board could have working subcommittees. Because before, the five-person board, two persons met that right on the edge of the quorum. So now we have the option of having work committees, which we've used before with this new structure, and it's been very helpful, I think, both the board and the staff, because it gets things done when they need to be done more quickly. But the board knows that they've got representation of the board making those decisions and not just staff. So you get an interchange, which I think is healthy and a good idea for corporate governance. The other issue, of course, is that Jim's technical group, right, has been going through what we would need to make sure we go forward. We have the timeline of the Interior Energy Project, which is to deliver gas to consumers in Fairbanks by the fourth quarter of 2015. And to do that, we've looked at what could be issues that would prevent that from occurring. Because of lead times. So the concept here is to authorize the subcommittee to work with the staff to make those purchases given a set precise budget. And that doesn't mean they'll spend the money. maybe we don't spend that money, but that would be that there would be the possible of doing so if that was deemed necessary by the subcommittee. So that's essentially the powers of managing. Do you want to add about the technical aspects?
I could. For the record, this is Jim Hemsat, Deputy Director for Project Development. As Mark and Ted have alluded, we have a very, very tight schedule in order to meet the governor's goal of natural gas into Fairbanks in the winter heating season of fall of 2015. Our schedule and our analysis of the project and the equipment indicate there are some very long lead time items, as Ted has presented. We have been to date proceeding under the previous NTPN funding with all permitting activities, including the pad and air permit, under one case or one assumption that what the plan might be, so that we can proceed and make sure that we have the opportunity to meet that deadline. We are now coming up to the next milestone, which is the engineering development procurement document for those long lead time items. We cannot go out in good faith to an open market for equipment unless we have the ability to at least put a deposit in and potentially any cancellation charges, which is what the third fee that Mark had alluded to. Negotiations are continuing on with potential equity partners, and the assumption is, depending on the partner, that this procurement would just be assigned to them, or more accurately assigned to the special purpose entity that's been created for the project. We also believe that we should have a fairly good idea where we're going with the potential equity partner and their engineering group prior to the actual placement of any of our equipment. So as Ted and Mark have mentioned, while we need to have the ability to put a deposit down and be liable for early on cancellation charges, it is our belief that we will not get to a piece of equipment that would not be necessarily used by one of the equity partners that would cause us for a loss of funds in that regard. So the resolution and the memo describe that. We believe that a little bit over $1.6 million will carry the engineering and procurement forward, and $350,000 for the illegal negotiation fees. It's really important to do this because in spite of where we are with our negotiations, that final detail work as it relates to a participating partner may drag on, and while we assume that the one lead items are 12 to 14 months, we need to actually get on contract with that equipment. We actually hope, and we'll put in our RFP and the date that we do need versus the date we think they can deliver, and see how that opens up, because everything's based on phone calls and contact with vendors. They're giving us 12 to 14 months, but that's based on not having a contract or procurement hand. So we need to take that extra step to assure ourselves that if it is that long, we're in good shape. And if it isn't that long, we've defined that and have a contract to give us the early delivery date that we need.
I was going to say, they can't see the body language. I think we'll have Ted, Mark, and Jim, if you want to stop there for a moment. I'll turn to the board members and see if they have questions I'd like to begin to discuss any questions or discussion of resolution G13-14.
Madam Chair, this is Gary.
Oh. Go ahead, Gary.
Thank you. I would hope that in regard to the subcommittee, I would hope as we march through this that knowing that we typically meet towards the end of each month, that if we do have a decision authorizing money, that it come before the full board so that we have the discussion and everyone is aware of it, and only use the subcommittee if indeed we need to act fairly quickly. So when these issues come before us, I'm going to ask Ted, can this wait till the next board meeting? And then I would hope that we have an explanation as to why, for the benefit of the full board. So thank you.
Thank you.
And to the chair and to the board, that's exactly the way that staff envisions this, is that if it was close, we could go to the board. And it would be up to the, of course, the subcommittee to make that decision. So again, we would not be making that. Just, Chair, very quickly, I just wanted to add one thing that wasn't stated.
Okay.
For the board's information is that the total requested to move forward with analyzing the project includes also $350,000 to start the that we're working on right now, the due diligence, the structuring with the contracts with potential partners, and also working on the distribution system. The other part of the $1,650, part of that money for the $1,006,000, is also working with the community on the distribution system, engineering for the distribution system, designing the storage requirements for the community, so that both of these come to the board during that final due diligence deal structuring, so the board can make that decision in November. So these funds are also working on that part of the area along with the facility.
Thanks, Ted. And just for a little bit of context, as we said earlier, we have an orientation for our three new board members in early September, an October 1st meeting that's in the process of being scheduled, where I think we can more formally take up both elections of officers for the board as well as the subcommittees. And just because I think that, as was recognized, Chairman Short was on this, I think that we'll want to, once our new board members have a sense of our work, where we have subcommittees, which have included on the AEA side for Susitna, we can make a more informed discussion there. So back to this resolution, any other questions or comments from board members?
Madam Chair, Dana Perez.
Yes.
I have a question about how on the agenda, item 5 was public comments, and then we went into new business. Is the typical scenario, then, does the public not have an opportunity to comment once a resolution is before us, after it's presented by staff? Is it the onus on them to comment before staff makes their presentation? I'm just trying to figure out how this works.
Yes.
I've seen it both ways. But
in the ADA board meetings, yes, as you've noted, we have had the public comments under that item and then move into board and staff discussion of our business items.
Okay.
Are there any other questions or comments about the resolution from board members?
I have a couple questions. I kind of threw them out at Ted yesterday. One is, well, my first question is, based on the schedule, is there any slippage of the schedule that was provided to us on the IEP project, on the project schedule?
The Chair, this is Jim. No, there has not been. The schedule, I believe, if I'm looking at the summary schedule that you have, is one that we put together this past spring with the anticipation of the opportunity, actually, the necessity of early equipment, too. It may have been some rolled up a little bit more in that detail.
Uh-huh.
But we'd always envisioned that we needed to order equipment no later than October, the long lead time items.
Okay. And do you anticipate any roadblocks in the next couple quarters as far as towards the schedule?
Well, that's a very difficult question.
It is.
The answer is no, we do not anticipate any slippage of this schedule. Things are defined, and there are a couple of critical path items. One was equipment, which we're trying to work around. The second is permitting. And with regard to permitting, we've begun air permit, which is typically the longest lead time. We have acquired the rights from BP for their last air data, so we've just saved 12 months on the schedule by not having to collect that air data. We are working aggressively as it relates to, in fact, there will be people on the slope next week on the cultural aspects and looking at the site. Our goal in amongst this fund is also to look at potential awarding a contract for the pad. While that pad won't go in until next March, we want to make sure that we're in line. But with all that in mind, this is still permitting. We don't envision or anticipate any slippage, but those are the areas that are the biggest concern to us, which is why we're tackling them right on. And from the permitting perspective specifically, we will be in ADA through the SVE as well. We'll be managing the permitting activity throughout the project to make sure that there is no handoff, loss of time, and things like that.
So can I assume that that's both for the LNG and the local distribution schedules that you're referring to?
Yes, but okay. But my comments are specifically directed at the LNG plant. Mm-hmm. While there are issues as it relates to scheduling for the distribution, we don't see those as necessarily critical at this point.
Okay.
What is critical is getting gas flowing in a truck and moving to Fairbanks.
And last question, is there a point between both with the local distribution and the LNG facility, a critical point in time in the future that we need to keep our eye on? Because they both are related, obviously.
Go ahead, Mark, and I'll jump in.
Oh, yeah. I don't think we're at a point yet. One issue with the distribution is the status of the certificates of public necessity and convenience. That should be resolved by October 19th, according to our council, who's monitoring the RCA proceedings for AEA. Meanwhile, AEA, which also is our sister agency and which is on board, is working with local entities to lay out a technical view of the piping that we needed. We have the bond authorization for the moral obligation bonds already from the legislature, so those are available when appropriate. The use of those bonds is there. And we have Western Financial already retained to work on that bond issuance. And we have underwriters already in place, and we have bond counsel. So that's on that side, we're in pretty good shape. We're just really kind of waiting for certain issues to resolve.
To board member Cruz, very quickly too, I think one of the areas that is a challenge right now, and we're trying to work through it as quickly as possible, is evaluating potential equity partners and going through that process. I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces on that, and very challenging trying to meld that. I don't think the technical side's the issue. It's on the financing, and then the same with the distribution system, that you do have the different competing entities looking at how to service it. So timing, working through the demand issues, contracts with potential customers are all very challenging right now until we go through the RCA process. There's a lot of uncertainty there, but we're putting a lot of resources through AEA to work with the potential partners on the distribution system and for financing that right through these critical months, and the same on analyzing potential partners. So, I mean, this isn't an easy project. It's very schedule-driven and very tight, but we're doing all that we can to try to keep this on the path to make it by 2015. On the community side, the distribution system, of course, we control the financing. We control who to give financing to. We don't control the entities and how they do their build-outs. So we're doing all we can to work with the different entities, but it's going to be a challenge through the whole process to ensure that we're getting the build out needed for the demand for the plant, and vice versa, making sure the plant and the finance structure are there so when the build out is completed that we have the gas. And I think that's one of the reasons, as we've discussed in private meetings, is why they've asked ADA and AEA to be involved, is trying to help the community, trying to bring the private sector in to fill the community's needs. But we will be reporting on this timeline every meeting we have, and we can send out reports during the time with adjustments. We've asked HDR to have their people ready and continuing to look at these critical paths. I think yesterday we talked about that risk analysis that HDR has put in, a risk analysis that gives us warnings, I assume, Jim.
Right, I think that was one point I was just going to bring up, is we're just pushing the final touches on a detailed risk analysis to identify those points
where we can start
building those into the schedule as well, and a little bit from a decision point as well. And Ted, if I could just very brief addition, the one interface that's there, that it is in fact too early to determine, we don't see it as a schedule risk at this point, is the issue of storage and the size of storage. As we proceed forward and understand who and what the entity and Fairbanks will be working on the distribution, as well as where the project goes in, that aspect of storage quantity and when it's available could be an area of interaction that has to take place sometime in the next 6 months to get better definition on that.
Thank you.
And Dana, did you have other questions?
No, I just wanted to tie in the approval of this resolution to the schedule and making sure there wasn't anything else out there that I should be aware of that may have a bearing on it, and the staff has adequately answered that. I appreciate that.
Thank you. And one thing also, just covering a little more context, we do get regular management reports also from TED reflecting project updates as well, and certainly Gary Wilkins' request made earlier of business being conducted in formal meetings as much as possible is certainly been heard by board members, staff, and the public today. Any other questions or comments about the resolution?
Yes, I have one more. Chairman Bell, this is
Crystal.
Yes, Crystal Nygaard. You know, one of the biggest roadblocks I foresee is this whole permitting process, specifically for air. So this looks pretty conservative for getting an air permit. What is the average time right now for an air permit of this size?
Well, I've asked HDR to work on that. We have HDR's national permit person working on it back east with their local staff. And they estimate that if we filed for the permit in the autumn, we would have it in hand September of 2014. And then we stress test that estimate, and we think it's accurate.
Okay.
Board Member Nygaard, and I apologize for not bringing this down. We do have a sort of a timeline for this, and I could have Mark send it out to the board too, that breaks down the different permits, the air permit, 404, and those. It's a nice, concise little timeline.
It was my request as a lawyer. There's a lot of permits, and I want them all laid out on one sheet,
so
I know what I get, and I'll provide that to the board. And HDR did a great job making that condensed. There are some small permits that are not on the chart, totally honest with the board, but these are the major ones that all could be potential hangups.
And one maybe is to, because people will talk about the longer permit, as I mentioned before, using the site selection that we have now as our kind of a base case, we were able to obtain what typically would take 12 to 16 months to measure and obtain data for air quality that has been ongoing by PP for a very long time. So we were able to kind of take that off the table. So we gained over a year right away by having that air data.
Yeah, that makes sense now with that time.
Yeah, right. You're required to have ambient air data for the site for at least a year.
Yeah.
It can be longer if you don't have data. And secondly, you have to put the equipment in place, and if there's any disruption in the equipment, then you need to start over again, which is the nightmare that everybody faces. If you already have the ambient air data, then not only do you reduce the time, you reduce the risk.
Yeah, that makes sense now, that data.
And for the record, BP and the other entities up on the slope have been very helpful to us through the permitting process and the...
Thank you.
So any additional comments or questions? Go ahead, Russell.
Just in addition, and I'm sure this is the case, but being a new board member, I just wanted to be absolutely sure that, you know, in addition to the regular reports, if we do have hiccups in the system of critical items, that we, the board is updated in real time.
Right. Yeah. We did that with the Buccaneer project. So.
That's the endeavor ring. The board was informed whenever anything that was what we call non-organic event to be an event that was not foreseen.
Great, thank you.
Nina, did you have something else?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
And by the way, I appreciate the questions of the board. It's always good to interface with them.
So we've had an introduction of the resolution, we've had an opportunity to answer questions, but have not yet asked for a motion. Is there a motion for this resolution?
I'll move
Madam
resolution.
Chair, this is Will.
Go ahead,
Chair,
Gary.
This is Will. Can I move we approve G13-14, authorizing continued funding for the Interior Energy Project.
Is there a second?
Second. Dana.
Thank you. So we have a motion and a second. Maybe we have a roll call of board members.
Mr. Wilkin.
Aye.
Commissioner Riddell.
Yes.
Mr. Pruse.
Yes.
Ms. Nygaard.
Yes.
Mr. Hughes. Mr. Dick.
Yes.
Commissioner Bell.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
That brings us to item number 7, which is director comments. Ted?
Yes, Chair. Again, welcome to the new board members. We're very thrilled to have such skilled board members to help lead the authority. And we look forward to the meeting on September 9th for the orientation. And part of that process in the orientation, we'll take 2 or 3 of our main projects that we're working on and give you an update so that we can give you more information on the IEP project, our jackup rig. Very quickly on the jackup rig, it has pulled up from Cosmo. It was a very successful well on the Cosmo area, and it's now moving to Southern Cross,
Southern Cross,
understanding, Gil?
In the northern West Cook Inlet.
And other good news on that project that was out there was that one of our significant partners in the project, Buccaneer, has had a new partner with them that provides a lot of financial strength in their well drilling program. And we look forward to seeing that rig drilling all across the Cook Inlet. So that's moving forward. Again, we have the meeting on the 9th, and then it's my understanding that our next full board meeting will be October 1st, where we're looking at that date. And, Chair, that's all the comments that I and my staff have.
Thank you. That brings us to item number 8, board comments, and let's go to Gary first. Comments from Gary?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Just a welcome to the 3 new board members. I look forward to meeting them and working with them. And thank you for stepping up and serving the people of Alaska. The second is October 1st is our next meeting, and I'll be participating by teleconference, please.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
We'll go to Russell Dick.
Yeah, no, I just appreciate the opportunity to work with everybody and to meet you all face-to-face. I think this is a great opportunity for me to learn some things. And you know, being a Southeast boy, we don't pay a lot of attention to what's going on in the rest of this day, but this is good. I'm really looking forward to participating, and my only other comment is that I wouldn't have gotten up so early to catch the flight this morning if I knew the chair was going to be in Juneau.
I take full advantage of being there in the Ada building, an opportunity to meet people. Thank you for that, Russell. Moving to Dana.
Well, as I'll just reiterate what Russell said, I appreciate the opportunity. I do appreciate the staff the last couple of weeks and the information they've given. I look forward to working with everybody on the board, and I'm excited about what Ada and AEA is doing. and I think it's great for the state, and I look forward to serving with this board to make our state a better place.
Thanks. Crystal?
I'll reiterate what they said. Same, thank you for this opportunity, and I looked over the mission of ADA and AEA, and I am fully in belief that's where we need to go as a state. And I am the lucky one to be in the valley with one of the most exciting projects right now. So I've dove in feet first with some of the public interacting with me and bringing the concerns. So thank you for this opportunity, and I hope to bring a good valley voice.
Thank you. Angela?
Thank you, Chair. Welcome to all the new board members. We're excited to have you on board, and I just wanted to reach out to all of you that if there are questions as you think of them that come up, finance related, feel free to knock on revenue's door. That's what we're here for. As for the October 1st board meeting, I will be out of state traveling, so I will either be attending by teleconference or we'll have a designee in place for that meeting. So just to give you a heads up, to give the staff a heads up. But other than that, I will see you back in Juneau. And I am Juneau based, just so you know. So I'm another Southeastern, Southeasterner.
Kind of a lot of weight down there right now.
Well, thank you all, and I'll just I've had an opportunity through this meeting to welcome the new board members, and I do thank you for the time I know you've taken already and will continue to take formally through the orientations or informally to just ask questions. That's your role, to add your professional expertise, to add those questions and help us perfect our projects and our work. And also, just as Angela said, the two of us do have a little flexibility in that as we have meeting coverage, there are times that our respective deputy commissioners do stand in for us. But with the work of ADA and AEA, I have tried to make as many meetings as possible. I'm really pleased with having the opportunity to serve on these boards myself. So again, thank you, board and staff, for your work to get us to this meeting. New board members, you'll see that this, being a more abbreviated meeting, was a more abbreviated packet. We typically get a lot more management reports in a full board packet, and you'll see that in the coming weeks. And with that, I'll look for a motion to adjourn.
I'll move to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you. All, we are adjourned.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you, Commissioner.
I got it. I just too busy.